Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 16, and then also Luke 24. Matthew 16, and we'll begin reading at verse 21 in a little bit. But last year at this time, we had to do this online. And you may have watched as I was broadcasting, or my wife was broadcasting. I just did the talking. She did all the hard part. We did that from home, but we're glad we're here today, right? Amen. The greeting of early Christian believers when they met one another was, "He is risen." And as that, the response is, "He is risen indeed." In John 11, we have the story of the good friend of Jesus named Lazarus. And the Bible tells us that when the news came that Lazarus was sick, Jesus remained 2 days where he was before he came to Bethany. And by the time he arrived in Bethany, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. But that when Jesus made it known to his disciples that he was going to Bethany to awake Lazarus from sleep, in other words, raise him from the dead, Bethany was very close to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, the Jewish leaders were seeking him to put him to death. And one of his disciples named Thomas said, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Let me ask you a question. If Thomas had died, would that help your salvation whatsoever? How about Peter? John? The Apostle Paul? No. Their death would have meant nothing. It was only the death of Jesus Christ, for he is God, and he, being perfect, was that perfect sacrifice. It's what God would accept. God would accept the death of God. Introduction. After being betrayed by one of his disciples, Jesus, as you know, was arrested. He was led through multiple trials, beaten, mocked, and accused of blasphemy by the Jewish leaders. Though Pilate found no fault in him, he condemned Jesus to be flogged and crucified. So why was Jesus crucified? In Peter's sermon at Pentecost, he proclaimed him, that being Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. The sacrifice of God's Son was part of his eternal plan to redeem a people for himself. It was not plan B. It was the original plan. The Bible explains that death is the penalty of sin. Because of sin, we have sickness in our world. Because of sin, we have death in our world. And because of these things, we are all doomed and damned for hell unless we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The spiritual death of the individual or the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, it's your choice. You will either die for your sins or Jesus Christ has died for your sin. And so you have to decide, am I going to bear the responsibility of my sins or am I going to put it upon Christ? The decision is yours. For years, God's people shed blood to cover their sins. But the blood of these creatures could never take away sin. Hebrews 10:4 says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin." Only the sacrifice of a perfect man could pay for our rebellion. So let me ask you this morning, are you a rebellious person? Are you? Are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? Every one of us. See, there are two types of sinners, folks. Saved sinners and lost sinners. Those who are covered by the blood of Christ, and those who are trying to get to heaven their own way. And you know what's going to happen when you try to get to heaven your own way? You're going to fall short. You're not going to be allowed into heaven. The Bible tells us if we try to get in another way, we're a robber and a thief. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He came to earth for one purpose. As we mentioned on Friday, that purpose was not so that we could celebrate Christmas. You do realize that, don't you? That Christmas means nothing without his crucifixion and his burial and his resurrection. And that's what's important. And that's why today we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Ken Ham writes, quote, we are all corrupted by sin. So the Son of God took on flesh, lived a sinless human life, and died on the cross as our substitute. The perfect once for all sacrifice for sin, unquote. Shortly before he died, Jesus said, it is finished. It is paid in full. I have done what I came to do. And he did by dying on the cross. The price of our sin debt has been paid in full by his sacrificial death on the cross. To confirm that Jesus was truly dead, not just swooned as some doubters have suggested, a Roman soldier pierced his side with a spear, causing blood and water to flow, fulfilling yet another prophecy by the death of Christ. Zechariah 12:10 says, and they looked upon me who they have pierced. As we know, the body of Jesus was released to Joseph of Arimathea, who placed it in his own tomb, burying him according to Jewish custom. But death and the grave could not hold him. And on the third day, Jesus rose in victory. Shall we stand together for just the reading of one verse? Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show to his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that you showed us in coming to earth to die for our sins. And Lord, we realize that our spiritual enemy has many counterfeits in the world of religion. We know that he desires to deceive us into thinking we're okay and that we really don't need religion. But Lord, we do realize we need a Savior. And we know that Jesus Christ is that Savior. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. You may be seated. Matthew chapter 17, we'll read verses 22 and 23. Matthew 17, 22 and 23. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hand of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. If you would, chapter 20. Chapter 20, we'll begin at verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. And they shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. If you would, the book of Luke now, chapter 24. Of course, the resurrection is recorded in all four Gospels, and you, like me, probably have a favorite resurrection story, and I find mine in Luke chapter 24. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. We find here that they went to the cemetery to anoint the dead body of Christ. And they're saying to themselves as they go, who's going to roll away the stone? And when they get there, the stone is rolled away. Can I ask you a question? How many disciples of Christ were there that were living right then? Judas is dead, right? 11? And how many other followers of Christ? Hundreds? Don't you think they should have all been waiting outside the tomb? Don't you think they all should have been there camping out? I mean, someone could have made a fortune in selling whatever food they would sell back then. Don't you think they should have been there? Would you have been there? And yet, who was the only one that believed Jesus said he would rise from the dead? It was the religious leaders. Do you remember they asked that a guard be set so that they couldn't come and steal the body? They're the only ones that seem to believe that Jesus could come from the grave. Isn't that sad that people who walked with Christ for 3.5 years did not believe him when he said he was going to rise again from the dead? That's sad, isn't it? They should have all been there waiting, saying, we knew you were going to do it. We've been waiting here. How easily we get led astray. On the first day of the week. When is the first day of the week? Sunday. Sunday is not really the weekend. Did you realize that? The weekend is Saturday. The first day of the week is Sunday. We worship on the day Christ arose from the dead. Notice what it says here, very early in the morning. I always like to talk about that because early is subjective. Now, I woke up this morning at 6 o'clock. How many of you think 6 o'clock is early? How many of you don't think 6 o'clock is early? A couple of you think it isn't early. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't like waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning, especially if my alarm is going to go off at 7:30. Okay? That meant for 1.5 hours, what was I doing? Tossing back and forth, saying, I ought to get up. I don't want to get up. Very early in the morning. I don't know what that meant, but I know this. Most of the people in Jerusalem at that time were not up. We find that a group of women who had spices to anoint the dead body of Christ have come. And we may think that, oh, they're so spiritual. Man, they've come to anoint the body of Christ. Can I say this? His body had already been anointed by Mary there in Bethany. She anointed his body already. He wasn't going to be anointed then because he wasn't going to be there. And how sad it is. As I've said, it is my opinion that literally hundreds of people should have been at the tomb waiting for Christ to come out. Verse 2 says, they found the stone rolled away. So why is the stone rolled away? Did Jesus need the stone to be rolled away for him to come out of the grave? No. So why is the stone rolled away? It's so you can see that the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty because Jesus no longer needs it. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. What an awesome thought. Verse 3. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. In the Word of God, angels are always in the male gender. And here we find that there are two of them. Angels literally are messengers. And they have a message. You know, when they tell us something, we need to listen. They were much perplexed. They were bewildered, baffled, mystified, uncertain. Wait a minute. You're not who we expected. And they're there in these shining outfits, and immediately they knew who they were. Notice what it says. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Can I say this, that there are hundreds, yea, thousands of dead religions in our world today? Can I tell you this, that there are hundreds, yea, thousands of false doctrines in our world today? That Satan's desire is to confuse us, to distract us, to lead us astray. That's what humanism is. It's pointing to us as people and saying, hey, we're okay, look at us. But the fact is, it's a dead religion. Evolution is a dead religion. There's nothing about evolution that makes sense. Just ponder it. I asked the question not too long ago, why would anything come out of the water to live on land? What purpose would there have been? And yet the evolutionist said somehow they came up onto land. So if you're used to living in water and you come up onto the land, what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. Yes? So how did something evolve? They all would have come up into the land and what? Died. It's a dead thought. Why seek ye the living among the dead? We have the Word of God, and it shows us what needs to be done, what it's all about. Verse 6, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? Why seek ye the living among the dead? You've come to anoint his body, but he is alive. He's risen. And he told you over and over again. Do you think when your doctor gives you suggestions about your health, you ought to listen? Yes? Okay. It's what you should do. What happens if you ignore it? You probably have an issue, don't you? And it's only going to get worse. You know, are we going to listen to good advice or are we not? So the Word of God has solid advice for our spiritual needs. Yet in our world today, the Bible is looked on in a bad connotation. But we need to remember it's the Word of God. And we can believe it. We can trust it. Yes, they were perplexed. Yes, they wondered what in the world was going on. Yet they should have remembered Verse 7, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And they remembered. Three thoughts in verse 6. He is not here. He is risen. Remember? The Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. Why didn't they believe? Because we believe what we see. Correct? It's so much easier to believe something that you see than something that you don't see. See, then it becomes faith. So, when it comes to evolution, you have to have faith that they know what they're talking about. Correct? They have the same fossils as the creationists. They have the same things that they can see in the universe. And they have faith that by some chance there was a ball of energy that exploded and were the results of it some 15 billion years later. That takes a lot of faith. A lot of faith. Or you can believe that there was a creator God who created man perfect. But unfortunately, he sinned. And he needed one that would die for him. That would take care of the need of salvation. So when you were born, okay, let's do this. We only have a few minutes left. So are you ready? How many of you are 67 and older? Mm-hmm. That means the rest of you are 167? My wife and I graduated high school together. Did you know that? She graduated earlier because her name was Darren. How many of us in here need a Savior? All of us, right? Why do we need a Savior? Because of sin. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You cannot work for a gift. You work for wages. You are working for hell. But thank God when you get saved, you're going in a different direction now. And your desire should now be to serve the Lord. And they remembered. I think it's important that we remember the words of God. I wish more people were in church today. I wish more people had a desire to be in the house of God on a regular basis. But what happens is that we drift from what God would have us be. And yet, He is merciful. And He allows us to come to Him. Some people have multiple opportunities. And yet there are some people living in our world today that unfortunately know nothing about what Easter or Resurrection Sunday is all about. It's not about chocolate bunnies, is it? Or jelly beans? Or painted eggs? That's not what it's all about. It's about Jesus Christ. And they remembered His words. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're beginning at verse 35. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? All of these things had come against the believers of that point in time. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Two questions, and we'll be done. Number one, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? It's a personal experience. It's when you realize that I need a Savior and I cannot save myself. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. Have you realized that need and have you accepted him as your Savior? And question number two, if you know him as your Savior, are you living a life that lets other people know that he is your Savior? That he is the one whom you love. Shall we stand together? Number 17 in our songbook is our invitation song entitled, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have you made your peace with the Lord, with our Creator God? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask, Lord, that you would bless it. May the Holy Spirit move. And Lord, may the Spirit as it moves, may we listen. And may, Lord, we get things right with you today. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.